Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Well, today is really a privilege for Robin and I. We're so excited to be in the studio. Our guest was recommended to us by some people that we both really love. And they said, oh, you have got to have Stacey DeWitt. Wait till you hear her story. Wait till you hear how the Lord is using her. So we got the notes on her bio and her ministry this week. I went to the website and oh my goodness, I was like, what?
A few tears for both of us, Cheryl. Yes. It's like, it's so true. Glad we're going to have Stacey. Stacey, welcome.
Yes.
So glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And what a privilege, right? Oh, what a privilege to meet you. And again, for those of you who are seeing this, you can see that Stacey is very beautiful. So, and young. I have to say that anyone under 60 is so young.
She does have these moments every now and then, but we'll just move on.
So. Yes, yes. So, Stacey, we want to begin with, you know, just where you grew up and, you know, kind of
we want to hear about you.
Yes. And kind of the elements that brought you to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I was fortunate to grow up in a believing family, and the Lord has always given me a heart for him. Like, I've always had a bent towards Jesus. He has always been my savior. He's always been the one to be the one to listen to me. And I think that my faith became my own when I was in high school and I decided, like, you know, that this is who I am. And, you know, then you have the moments of being closer and farther away as you just do life and you figure out who is Jesus to me? How is this going to play out in my life? And it wasn't until I think I was in my 30s where I had, just listening to worship music, just an encounter with the Holy Spirit by myself, where I felt, the way I describe it is one drop of his love.
Oh,
wow.
All I could handle.
That's another sound bite.
Yeah.
one bite.
Drop of his love.
One drop. Yeah.
And I almost had to tell him to stop because it was so good.
Yeah.
Makes me teary. And after that, like, my whole life is for him. Best I can. I need his help every day. But that is my faith journey. And my parents, they were following the Lord, and also there was hardship within their marriage. And so I feel like the Lord gave me that closeness to him so I could cling to him during those rough years. And so he's just always been by my side.
That's so good. Now, where did you grow up? What, like in California, in, you know, what area?
Yeah, I'm in Southern California, Ventura County, right next to the border of LA County, and went to the local high school here and have just, God just really planted me here. And then I went to a church growing up called Calvary Community Church, and it's one of the biggest churches in the area. And that's where I really learned to have a heart for service. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in high school and thinking, God, I really want to marry a pastor. That's what I want to do. And in prayer, I could see what I believe to be what he may look like someday. And as it turns out, I did marry a pastor, and he looks exactly like what I imagined him to be like. And I also had another cool Holy Spirit experience when I was getting baptized when I was in high school. So the head pastor of our church was baptizing me, and I had a moment, you know, where the Holy Spirit just flashes into your mind and like, that's not what I was thinking about.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit said to me, he will be family someday. And it turns out that I married his son. And so I knew in that moment when I was 16 years old that somehow they would be family to me. The Holy Spirit didn't reveal how, but I accepted that as we're family. So I've had so many cool things happen in my life where the Holy Spirit's just dropped some knowledge into me. And then I just wait to see how it plays out.
You know, I love that because I'm praying for this next generation. that they have encounters with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because, you know, both Robin and I can, you know, go back like you and say, at this place, the Lord met me.
You mark those moments.
Yes.
You remember, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, when Moses turned in and said, you know, now I will see this sight, which was the burning bush. Or when Samuel heard the voice of the Lord and he had to go back to bed and be really still and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I think that is so important for this generation. I am praying for this generation to have those encounters, like as you said, whether it's the Holy Spirit giving you a word for the future or something. I went to Westmont College, and I remember when I was there, I wrote a list of the attributes I wanted for my husband. And I wrote, I want him to surf. And I remember reading them to my mom, and she's like, why is surfing part of that? I'm like, I don't know, but he has to surf. And she's like, well, you know, it... my mother was a matchmaker, so she would meet these young men that she thought were, you know, potentials, and she'd be like, do you surf? And she'd be like, oh, you know, why does she have to have that stipulation? And I remember when I got engaged to my husband, we've been married for 45 years, that when I went back over the list, I was doubting, like, oh, I don't know, this is scary, because marriage is scary, like, because it's forever. And going over and realizing he had every single attribute on that list. You know, so those are like those places. Sometimes at the time, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. We also have those moments, which I love. So
the power.
Yes.
What happens in the heart of a teenage woman who is fully devoted to the Lord, and there's so much space for him to move in that. And I just have this heart for teenagers, and it just feels like, oh, don't waste these years, because it's so strategic to what God has next for you. Mm-hmm. So were you in a public school? High school?
Yes, I was in a public school. Elementary school is in a private Christian school, but middle school, high school, public school.
Mm-hmm. But your church sounds like it was really a strong foundation for that teaching and training and leading forward.
Yes.
Were there outreach trips?
It was so
formative. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were there outreach trips or missions trips you were involved in? Yeah.
That's where.
So see, your heart was being prepared there.
But that's where I began to have my love for the Spanish language and Spanish speaking people. Is I went on a, you know, weekend trip with probably middle school or high school, I don't remember. And I thought, hey, I should pay attention in my Spanish class because maybe I'd be able to communicate with people. And it just grew from there.
Oh, I love that. I remember going on outreaches to orphanages in Mexico. And you're just like, this is what I want to do with all my life. I just want to love on children, you know, and just that is so good. Okay, so how did you meet your husband?
Well, actually, we met as children at church. So he is 6 years older than I am. So we were never in the same social group, but our parents were friends. And I always admired him. And I always thought he was just the cutest thing ever. But he was away at Wheaton College, and I was here in high school. And so our worlds never merged until I was in college. And then he was a leader and I was a student. And so that didn't match up either. But eventually, when I got a little older, it worked out that we would just hang out and have fun. And then our relationship grew from there.
So who got serious first? Who recognized that, wait, there's something here first? Was it you or was it him? Because I know that when did that like reality, like he might be the way I get to be family, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't even putting it together like that. I'm glad that I didn't connect the dots in that way. I was after him, and he was receiving it. So
I love that.
Yeah, he didn't say I love you for a long time, and I thought, what is wrong with this guy? He was just trying to figure out what God had planned for him. Is our age difference okay? And God made it clear through our families that it's not a big deal.
Was he already in the ministry when you began to date, or was he contemplating the ministry, or, you know, what was going on at that point?
Yeah, he was working on his master's at Fuller Seminary, and I was in college, and then we were more a little more mature in how we were relating to each other, right? And that's how, you know, we started to hang out more, talk about theology, talk about life.
And where'd you go to college?
I went to Cal Lutheran University and then spent some time at Fuller as well.
Oh, that's great. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I love about Brian is we could talk about Jesus. And I know that's one of the things that Robin loves with Ross is that ability to talk about Jesus. And I remember, you know, because I grew up in the church also and dating young men, and they wouldn't want to talk about Jesus. And I'm like, how can you not want to talk about Jesus? I mean, he's like the greatest thing going on in our lives, you know?
Yes.
Let's talk about Jesus. So when you're saying that you talk theology with your husband, I get so excited because that's like one of my favorite things. I mean, who doesn't want to talk
we
about
still do.
The Lord? Oh, me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We like to kind of challenge each other.
Yes.
So what does this mean? And what do you think of this?
Yes.
Oh, Brian and I, when we would finally get a date night, because we raised four children, we would play this game. Like, who can say all seven I ams? Who can name all the 12 tribes of Israel? Who can? And then
all the books of the Old Testament.
Yes,
go.
Or all the kings of Judah, all the kings of Israel.
Okay, you guys are deeper in
we
than
would
we are.
Do this crazy thing. And then one of us would say a scripture and we'd have to, I could get to the book. He can tell you the chapter and he can come within, either hits the verse. But, you know, those are the things that you do because you love it. Because you love the Lord.
And the shared heart for ministry that you both had, that you would still, on your own, you would be walking into ministry opportunities individually. But when the Lord brought you together, then those were ministry opportunities you were pursuing together. That's very much how Ross and I knew that we were right for each other, because we were on the same path and like meshing together where our hearts were at. So that's, I don't know, it's such a different premise for love and marriage than what's anywhere on TV or whatever else. But it's so eternal. It's so the Lord's, that covenant relationship and the Lord's presence in your life. So we feel this.
We get excited.
Thing. Yeah,
so we relate. All right. So Stacey, like, how long after you married did he take the pastorate, and how did that come about? Because we know even the call to a certain church is so divine. So how did that happen? You know, how did you end up where you are?
Yes. Well, he graduated from Fuller, and then we got married, and then he joined the staff at Calvary Community Church, so his family's church, my church, our church, and then he was one of the associate pastors at that time. And during that time, I was a bilingual elementary teacher, and so we weren't both in ministry. Although I consider being a teacher definitely a ministry,
definitely.
and it wasn't until, let's see, well, he was on staff for, I think, maybe 25 years.
Wow.
And then we both got the call to pastor a small little church in our right in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so we did that for 13 years together. And then this last Sunday was our first Sunday back at Calvary Community Church, where he is an associate care pastor. And we're back at home. So it feels really, really good.
Full
That's
circles.
Incredible. And you look too young to be throwing out all those numbers.
Oh, you're so nice to me.
No, it's so true. Okay, so when did the call to the ministry that you're now involved in come? Like, how far into, where were you at when you begin to, because in your
bio.
Yeah. You were sharing that this burden began to come to you. How long ago was that, and where were you?
Maybe it was about 15 or so years ago, a series of events happened and the Lord gave us a picture of roots. Like, you know how you have that spade where you're like digging up the roots of a tree in order to transplant it. He kept giving us that vision. And we were just praying through it, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. And a series of events happened. One, we decided to move out of our house and with our three kids, rent our house to another family on an adventure. And we moved into a 100-year-old farmhouse on 2.5 acres, and we did life from there. We still had our same jobs, but we just, God was uprooting us, getting us out of our normal routines. We were doing life as a family differently with different kinds of chores. So that was one thing. And during that season, we also went to Africa to work with orphans. And one of the orphanages I will never, ever forget. It was baby upon baby upon baby, 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 and not enough workers. We weren't allowed to take any pictures. I wish we were, because it was so powerful. And there, I love babies. I love kids. And so we just stayed there. We were there for the day. I wish it was longer. And we just helped the workers. We just held babies, changed babies. It didn't matter if they had HIV. We just wore gloves and loved them just the same. Like, how could there be so many babies without families? And God was uprooting my heart from normal life. That was another mile marker. And we came home from that. Eventually, we moved back into our house. So that season of being uprooted was over. And I came home from Africa and I was sick. Everybody had gone to church. So just sitting at my farm table, and I'm just like, God, where are my orphans? I already know now what my calling is. I think we're supposed to move to Africa. And so I said that to my husband. He's like, we are not moving to Africa. That is not where we're going. Usually I'm the one like with ideas, and he's all for him, because he's like just a super extrovert. He's like, no, we're not moving to Africa. And I was so bummed. I knew he was right. But like, where are my orphans, Lord? And so it was during that time that Kirk and I sat on our living room floor, and we just said, God, what breaks your heart for our community? We want to do something about it. And it was right away that the Holy Spirit impressed upon our hearts. It was foster care. Mm. And back all those years ago, no one was talking about foster kids. No one was talking about foster care. It was a non-issue back then, just swept under the rug. And so I thought, well, I'm a doer. I'll figure this out, God. I'll just get us on track. And so any place I called or any place I emailed, no one returned my messages or emails. And I thought, well, I know my shepherd's voice. I know what he's saying to do. Like, why isn't he answering me? Mm. And it's now we know that God was about to do something brand new that hadn't been done. And he wanted to start it in our community. And so when we didn't know what was happening, but we knew our direction, we gathered some friends and went to a coffee house. And every Tuesday, we fasted for half a day and we prayed and we asked the Lord, what do you want to do in the area of foster care? We don't want to move in our flesh and just make something happen, because the yield from that would be so flat. We want to do something where there's an eternal harvest. Like, what is it? And as I tell the story, it sounds like everything fell into place as it should, but it was really a journey of going on prayer walks and saying, I give up, God. This is too hard. And maybe you didn't say foster care. Maybe I just made it up. And so the Lord was so sweet and so faithful. So one day during that time, I got a call from a police officer to pick up a 3-year-old at the Palm Garden Hotel.
Okay, here. Now I've got to just stop. Now, during this time, did you and your husband go through foster care training? Did you?
No.
Wow.
And how old were your kids during this time?
Yes, our kids were, let me think a second. They were 10, let's see, 12, 9, and 2.
Wow.
So when you were in the 200-year-old house, they were about those ages?
Yes.
Okay. And then, so that season ended, and after Africa, you knew this. And then when you knew, was it something that you included the kids in at that point, or did you just keep praying and waiting on the Lord to see what the direction was?
We just were praying and waiting on the Lord and seeing what the direction was. We don't necessarily want to bring the kids into something that might be heavy or confusing because they were little.
Without any details. We don't know what this means, but
yes, but they would hear our requests at church. Mm. They were part of the body, and they would hear before they go off to their Sunday school classes, they would hear us say, like, we really believe the Lord is pressing upon our hearts. We need to be focusing in the area of foster care, be praying with us. And then they were part of that journey.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to ask, how the police department knew that you'd be interested in a 3-year-old?
Well, that's a good question. So when there is an emergency placement, the Department of Child and Family Services will call everyone they can. They start with people known to the child. It could be a neighbor, it could be a relative, a teacher. And I happened to pick up the phone first. And I said, absolutely, I'll be right over.
So what was your relationship?
Yeah, what was your connection?
Yes. What was the connection there?
Well, since it's not my story to tell all the details, we'll just say we're known to the child.
Okay, that's
and
good.
So,
that's good.
Yeah, so yes. I drove over, and since my daughter had a car seat, I had a car seat, and I had, you know, blanket in the car. And so when I went over there and drove underneath the carport, the officer was standing there, and he had her on his hip, and she had a wet diaper and an empty sippy cup, and that was all she had. And so I wrapped her up in a blanket and put her in the car seat and drove her home, and then realized I don't have a diaper for the next diaper change. I don't have clothes. I don't have a bed. How long will she be here? And we learned in the foster care system that the state is not sitting around ready to write you a check so you can pay for the things that that child needs. So, and sometimes that check never comes, which it never did. And so I started making phone calls to my neighbors and to my family, like, do you have extra that I can borrow till I can get out to the store? And then when we met with our friends, we're like, wait a minute. If we had like a warehouse or something like that, then people could donate their beautiful things because our community has so much. What if we had a warehouse where people brought their donations and then people could say yes, like our family, to taking in a child in crisis? It's just a matter of being able to afford it. That Christians should be able to say yes.
Yes. Can I ask something? Was that call totally unexpected? I mean, did you ever think that that child and that call would be the one that would launch you into the foster care ministry? I mean, I think sometimes that we expect the Lord to come from the east and he comes from the west, you know, or we expect him from the north and we've got our eyes here and all of a sudden it comes from the south. So was that an unexpected entrance or baptism into this ministry?
100%.
Yeah.
Total surprise, out of left field, but it was exactly the direction that we needed from the Lord. We needed to experience personally what it's like to take in a child and not have any belongings.
Because that gave you an idea about what they would need and what the need was and how to facilitate that need and how to facilitate others. You know, we've only got about a minute left in this session of Women Worth Knowing, talking to Stacy DeWitt. So
we're
going to come back.
We have to hear all about this.
Because there's so much more. And so just as a recap, I'm just loving the encounters with Jesus. I'm loving, you know, my dad used to always say, God guides supernaturally, naturally. And that's what we're seeing in the open doors. And I'm just loving this. So in the second session, we'll get into, like, you know, how it grew from there, where you're at right now, and all those encounters and the way that the Lord has led you, continues to lead you. And I want to give the listeners the opportunity to maybe participate. We'll put all this in our show notes.
Definitely.
And everything will be part of it. So again, you're going to want to join us next week for part two with Stacy DeWitt. This is just so exciting. I just love any ministry with children. I'm all in.
Yep. Yep.
Robin too. There we go.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.